Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is the last of our Giving Thanks series that we've been doing for a couple of months now. Giving thanks today for future, James 4, 13 through 17. Next week, we'll be back in the Gospel of John. So, Wednesday night, Esther 6. Next Sunday morning, John chapter 16, if you want to get reacquainted with where we're at in the Gospel. This morning, James chapter 4 and future. Future, what comes to mind when you say that word? When you think about it? Future. Maybe growing up, it was watching Star Wars or
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future? Yeah, that was good. Back to the Future. Star Trek. Maybe it was the Jetsons. You thought that's what the future was going to look like.
Yeah.
I thought it would be the Flintstones.
The Flintstones was the future?
Yeah.
We could see that too. I think that's our thoughts growing up. Where are the flying cars? Maybe we're getting close.
Yeah, they show them all the time on YouTube.
The future. We think of family, the future of family. What are they going to look like when they grow up, when they get old? The future of vacations. We schedule those things, right? Anybody got 2025 vacations in the books already?
Got a couple.
Yeah. That's future. It's future planning. Retirement, that's future planning. Death, that's the one we don't talk about.
Yeah.
But you can plan for that as well. The future. Giving thanks for the future today. And as Christians and as the church, how should we live with future in mind? Two parts this morning. Giving thanks for our life. And giving thanks for our future. James chapter 4, verse 13. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning together. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for James and his very applicable book to our lives. Help us lean into these few words on this page this morning and just take a look and think about our future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this is the last of our Giving Thanks series. It's our last Sunday of the year, as we've pointed out. And today we give thanks for the future. And when I say those words, all sorts of things come to mind. We just mentioned a few of them. It's the future of yourself. It's the future of family. It's what lies ahead for your loved ones or this church or this country. Future is not a narrow word, right? This morning we want to try to narrow it a bit. By seeing future through the lens of God. So let's get going. Giving thanks for our life. And I guess we first need to ask ourselves what future really means. And as world definitions go, it's either an indefinite time to come or some event that has yet to happen. That's the future, and we all have two of them. The future of the here and now, meaning here on earth, could be measured in minutes or years. You could have almost no time left, or you could just be getting started, and age does not set your future. In our fallen world, we know this to be true. We have experienced it. I said we have two. The second one is your eternity. That's future number two. Everyone has one of those in their future as well. Some will like theirs better than others, but we all have a future for our soul. The question should be what future means to God. So think about it. What would future mean to God? Try to wrap your mind around the God who knows the beginning and the end. The God who sees all things at all times. The God who's outside of time. Think about what future is to Him. The word does not mean much to our Creator.
Amen.
Not really. He had His eyes on the end while creating. That's a heavy thing to think about. He had His Son's cross forming as He formed Adam from the dust in the garden. So when we say future according to God, so through His lens, what we're talking about are the moments that lie ahead for us that He already knows. That's the sovereign God of the universe. That's why we put our faith and trust in Him. That's why we pray. He knows where the road leads that you are on. He knows. Let's look at the text. Verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We give thanks for life by focusing in on a text that asks us what our life is. It questions us and then answers the question. What is your life? Your life is but a mist. Do we live like that? Do we live like we could be gone before the mist is gone as the early morning sun rises? The answer is, of course, no. We do not live with the urgency that the Bible points to, largely because we don't see it as a mist, right? Katie has a granny that turned 98 on Friday. That's a long time to us. She was born in a different world, right?
Amen.
When called a mist, it's not from our perspective, but rather from the perspective of the Bible. A Bible that's been speaking to us on these pages, it's been telling stories across 6,000 years. 98 years is not that much time in 6,000. It's the perspective of eternity. 98 is a grain of sand on the beach. It's a drop of water in the ocean compared to eternity. Our gospel writers lived like Jesus would return to them. Paul lived like the judgment day was just around the corner for them. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things that are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation 3:11, I am coming quickly, hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. How do we live? Well, we live like we have all the time in the world, right? Mm-hmm. We live like we control all things, from the small things, like that homework isn't due yet, so why do? Right? That's our mindset. Or it only takes 20 minutes to get there. We still have 25, so why leave yet? To the large things, like I'll tell them I love them tomorrow. I'll go see them tomorrow. I'll share Jesus with them tomorrow. Sometimes tomorrow doesn't come. Most of us have a lot of tomorrows we wish we could have back.
Amen.
So you don't wait until tomorrow. Who is James calling out here in our first few verses? Well, it says, "You who say." It's speaking to Christians, so the Christians who say and travel and plan like they know all. Those who live like they have all the time in the world. That's what's happening here. Specifically, our text is focused on traveling for profit. Many of us understand that. We've traveled for work. That's not the point here, however. The point is simply that most of us live, even as Christians, like our plans and our things will be on our timing. What we know and what we want to do, and we know how long we have to do it. James is describing the demeanor of most of mankind for most of history. There has been a moment here or there, right, in history where people understood that every day was a gift. We can think about the world wars, right? We can think about the plague. However, it is safe to say that everyone has had to fight against their own will. Do we fight against it? Maybe that's the question. Maybe our response is, why fight against it? Maybe we think everything we say or do or think or feel, all of it is good for us. We thought it, so it's good. Of course it is not. Look at our text, verse 14. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. A mist, us, compared to the God that has always existed, we don't know what God knows. And our desires are never better than His desires for us. We have to discern between the good for us from God and the bad for us from ourselves, even the bad for us that feels good in the moment. How well are we doing? We're going to get to that in a moment, but first, do we give thanks for our current future? Meaning, not for the next week or next month or next year, not even for tomorrow, as our text states. Planning for tomorrow is not a bad thing, but tomorrow is not guaranteed. Amen. Giving thanks for our current future is to give thanks for the very next moment in our life. That's it. The next moment we have together in here, the next verse we will read, the next song we will sing. Give thanks for that person next to you right now. They are your current future. Do we give thanks for these moments? Do we feel these moments like we are a mist, or do we feel them like we will feel them again? Do we feel this moment here with Jesus? If there was no tomorrow, who needs to hear from you today? Cherish the moment. Feel and share your faith like it matters, like it's urgent, like we are all amiss. And give thanks for our daily lives. Give thanks for those people in our lives. Give thanks for Jesus in our lives and look forward to our future to come. Give thanks for our future. Verse 15 says this. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Maybe first, what do I mean by our future? I believe we just read that living in the moment is key because there's no guarantee of a future. Now I'm saying give thanks for our future, so which is it? Let's get into it. We just brush the surface of needing to know what is from us and what is from God. We need to know. Don't do things like we know what God knows. Don't do things like we always have more time. How are we doing? There's an easy way to tell. We all had plans last week. right? Holiday, Christmas season, we had plans. Do we have any plans this week? Have we already made plans for 2025? Some of us have. We have as a church. I'll point to the letter. The schedule's right down here. How does having plans go, by the way? You plan it, how does it go? Is it perfect all the time? Is anyone batting 1,000 in here on making plans and it going according to plan? Everyone showed up and on time. The food came out just the way you wanted it. There was no friction between family. The weather cooperated every time? Probably not. Why do we struggle with this? Because we are not God. Because the world is fallen and we are fallen. We don't know what He knows. There's numerous reasons. More importantly, the way to tell if we lean into ourselves instead of God is to think about all the things that you have planned. Think about all the things that have passed already, those upcoming in the new year. Think about them all. Then ask yourself if you ask God for direction at all. Did you pray over your schedule? Did you pray over your thoughts and schemes and actions that they would be in His will? Verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Did you change anything that you wanted at all, even slightly, changed anything because of your prayer or His word? If the answer is no, and it probably is no most of the time, then we are either saying that everything we thought and said and did and planned was perfect and lines up with God, and we know it does not, or we are saying that we march to the beat of our own drum. We know what it says, but we're going to do this anyway. That's what you do. That's what I do. It's what everybody does. Especially in America, with everything at our fingertips. We have the say, we have the power, we have the control. So if we are not to march to the beat of our own drum, then how do we march to God's drum? It is His word, and His people, and it is our prayers. First and foremost, it is faith in Him. Faith in the Son and His Spirit as our guide, this has to be the case, right? We'll only ever love your ways, the sound of your own drum, that's it, if you don't love Him more. And you can only love Him more if your confession is that He died for you and sent His Spirit to live within you. All other ways fall short and lead you to more of you. How specifically do we do this? Well, have to be connected in prayer to our Creator and Sustainer. He knows the way. Now, how do we know if we are connected? My kids hate this, by the way. I question everything. Why do you have another question? Just give us the answer you want. How do we know that what we are planning to do is in His will? Is the path He wants us on? We can't just say all paths are His paths for us. Wherever I end up, that's where He wanted me. That's a blaming God for your sinful decisions, right? He knows it. He allows it. He'll use it in the end, but He has a path for us. This is important. It's important to me because there's a lot of so-called leaders in Christianity that stand up and say, follow me. And they say this while not following God. They're leading their own way. It's the thing that probably upsets me the most as a pastor when I hear and see these other things. You guys know me by now. I simply stand up here and look to the Word and read the Word and say it's this. It has to be this. That's what it says, so let's all go do this. I rarely even do topics, though we're in topics today. Often we're verse by verse. We're going to be back in John next week. But many stand up and say, this is what I say, and I know what's in here, so follow me. That's not it. That'll never be it. We should always be led by him and never I. And I hope you're following along every week, and I hope if I ever stand upon my own shoulders, one of you would come to me and say, hey, what you just said, it's not that, it's this. Sadly, many leaders have essentially sold their souls for profit and lead many astray as a result.
Amen.
And they will see their judgment. And a lot of them are easy to spot. Most of them are, really. Just look to 1 Timothy chapter 3, which lays out who the qualified pastor is. You can see it quickly. We need to make sure that we are sheep following the shepherd and not following one of the wolves. Make sure, and the only way to make sure is to be in this book.
Amen.
It's not so-and-so said, but God says. If the Lord wills, how do we know? It's in here. It won't be a stance against his word. It won't be a stance that says, I know what it says, but. It's not a stance on feelings alone. That's how we know. And when I say that, I don't mean never be emotional. All things in your life are emotional. They all are. You're either happy or sad or angry or frustrated or you're in contentment. Whatever it is, you're feeling something. What I'm saying is that Scripture says feelings alone will get you in trouble. James 1:14, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Scripture describes our emotions and desires apart from him as sick and deceitful and being lured and enticed. Not a good thing. Feelings alone is back to trusting our thoughts and our actions, our desires, as if they are perfect. They are not. We all need to hear that. Everything in your mind is not perfect for you. Is not perfect for me. Also, feelings alone lead us to draw completely arbitrary lines as to what is right and what is wrong. If that's where we stand, feelings alone, we're going to draw lines that don't make sense. Everybody does it. Just think about your everyday decisions here for a moment. Brownies are not good for breakfast. Pretty solid decision. But chocolate donuts are. Pop-Tarts are. Who drew that line? I can't have dairy is drawing a line for health, and yet we let some dairy cross that line, right? We shouldn't be watching this kind of stuff. Well, that one's okay. Why? Well, because I like that one. It's not because it's different. And I overthink these lines we draw because I'm over-logical. Sometimes I think about this very thing, so that makes me a little weird. But drawing lines defy logic. And I do it too. Just the other day, I was sort of making fun of my wife for waiting to the last minute to do things. Wait till the last minute to get ready to go somewhere. We calculate the time. And I do the same thing. I was here last night printing things for today. I had all week. We all do it. Amen. The culture is full of them too, and we hold on to many of those as well. Lying or omitting is okay if you do it and you mean well. If you were the one and you mean well, but it's not okay for others to do to you, right? Their jealousy is ugly, but ours is just protective. Abortion's a big one. It's okay at this week, but not that week. It's okay for this reason, but not that reason. We just keep drawing lines. LGBT is okay because it's how they feel. But not adultery. You can't feel that way. Definitely not pedophilia. At least age still matters. We have this slope, and it's full of these marital and sexual things that are not Bible. Divorce for any reason. Marriage to anyone. Marriage unnecessary. Sex with anyone. And yet, only some of them are wrong to us. We all draw lines. Where are your lines? The real question is not, are they emotional? Because, of course, they are. Our decisions and our sins are emotional. The question is, are they biblical? I ask because everything I just mentioned was against the Bible. And when you heard them, some of them were okay in your mind or in your situation. You have things in your life that you have personally deemed okay that the Bible speaks against. We draw lines. Now, why am I talking about this? The pastor's on a rant. I might be. I mention it because the Bible mentions it, and I mention it because our text says, do everything in your power to do everything in the Lord's will. That's prayer and His Word and His people and repentance. That's leaning into the Spirit within. Now, we can only expect Christians to do this. It's part of the reason why part of caring for the world is sharing the gospel, because we want all people to see the truth and walk in His will. I also mention these things in our life that are outside of the Bible because of our future. Walking in the Lord's will leads to the future to come. We said there's no guarantee of tomorrow, and that is true for the here and now, but there's a guarantee of eternity.
Amen.
That's the future in view. That's the future that God already knows, and that future is shaped by our walks here. Not shaped as in you hold eternity in your hands. That's not it. That would be scary. And people think that. Every decision answering the question of heaven and hell for you, that would be too heavy. Instead, our future is defined at the cross. Our future is divided at the tomb. Is Jesus the risen Savior who died for you? Is Jesus the Word who became flesh to take your place? Is Jesus the one who offered you eternal life? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's where our future takes shape. But our words, our actions, the war of your will versus His, these things reveal who you belong to. Do you belong to the world and yourself and all the desires that come from this stance, or do you belong to Him? Do you seek Him? Is it His will that you walk toward? Not perfect, we can't do that, but present. Not right all the time, but knowing when you are wrong. knowing that everything you plan and desire is not good for you, knowing and taking a step toward change. What does your eternal future look like? In His hands or your own? You know the difference, we all do. Verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Meaning, we are arrogant if we stand on ourselves and not on Him. Then verse 17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. We know better than God is a stance that is evil. It is sinful. And it is what we say every time we say, the Bible is clear, but I'll do it anyway. I'll lean in anyway. I'll choose myself anyway. Christians know. Do you know? What will you do about it? Let's do that together. And we're going to close this morning a little different. The sermon's been a little different. We're going to close a little different. The text this morning simply points to live daily for the Lord and to strive to lean into His will over ours. That's it. Seeing that is easy, applying it is hard. I hope we all lean into one another so we can all apply it together. Our future is eternal life if we believe. And if we believe, we will keep His word. That's what Scripture says. Let's do it together. Next, I have a challenge for us. Up here, tentative schedule of church things this year. Grab one and pray over it. Let's make sure our plans are His will for us. Let's do that together. Also, there's a sign-up sheet over here. Come and spend some time in prayer and take a look and see where you can put your name. Everyone in here wants this church to have a future. Wants this church to walk out God's will, but to do that, it'll take effort from us all. We need to reach more families. Come sign up to help with that.
Amen.
We need more events. Come sign up to help with that. You have an idea? Let's work it out. You are good with technology? Let's get you in a spot. You want to serve in some way? Trustee, deacon, some other manner? Let's talk about it. You want to be in on the music, or you want to see a choir? Put your name on the line. Speak to Carl or Diane. Let's push this church into the future together. If we only have today, make sure that person in your life meets Jesus. Make sure you have met Him. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Repent and believe today. If the Lord grants us this year, let's make sure this church heads in His direction. Amen. Bring anything at all as we sing. What does your future look like? What does our future look like? Give thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning together. We thank You for Your words all across this book we hold in our hands. We thank You that the book of James and its author just gives it to us straight. We need to stop leaning on ourselves and lean on You. Help us start that process in a very real way this morning. Help us give over our questions, our anxieties, our desires, our fears, our sins, whatever it is, help us give them to You today. Help us all get off on a better foot in 2025, individually, collectively, as a family, a church family. Lord, we want to be in Your will. Reveal it to us. So so we can go out and reveal it to others. In Jesus' name we pray.